This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para-X Radio.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org. UK.
Hi, Kurt Smith here, telling you to listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio, Friday evenings, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, your host tonight. Sarah Jane's in the chat room, and we've got our other team member, Neilio, laying here on the floor on his Mac, so he may say hi in a little bit.
Hello!
Tonight, let me make an announcement first. Sarah Jane's got a big audition tomorrow for a major Hollywood movie that's being filmed here in the UK, so she's a bit nervous. We all want to wish her luck. And I know that she'll do well, and she'll get her part. So if you're in the chat room, wish Sarah luck. I'm sure everything's going to be fine tomorrow. Maybe you can put her at ease a bit. Tonight we've got a special guest with us, and he's here in the UK. His name is Tim Jones. He's from Sandwell Research Paranormal Team up in the Midlands. He's one of the co-founders and, I believe, the location manager. And are you with us tonight, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
I'm fine, you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Good. I hear you're stuck here on the radio tonight while the team's doing a big charity event.
Yep. I've sent my team off tonight while I'm doing this radio interview to a place up in Lincoln. It's going to be good for those guys because I'm not going to be there, so they're going to be able to experience and explain things on their own rather than have me do it for them.
Oh, good. Whereabouts are they in Lincoln?
It's a place called The Lawns. It was a former mental asylum.
Oh, excellent.
And it's now a conference centre.
Really? Have you investigated there before?
I haven't, no.
And you're missing out.
Well, it's a great opportunity for the team. Obviously, I can be here publicising what we do, and those guys can be up there doing a great charity event for a great cause.
Now, did you have a good turnout for tonight for people to attend?
As far as I know, they're hoping to raise in the region of £6,000 tonight.
£6,000?
Yep.
Really?
And we was asked to help out by a company called Fright Nights, who are a ghost hunting company in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that asked us is the co-owner, Martin Jeffries. So we're actually really privileged to be helping those guys out for such a great cause.
Yeah, what is the cause? What charity are you raising money
for? It's for the Anthony Nolan Trust.
And what exactly is that?
I'm not too sure myself, but I think it's a boy that suffered from leukemia.
Oh,
I'm not quite sure on it myself.
Oh, that's great. That's great work. And you guys have already planned another charity event, haven't you?
Yeah. It's one of our first locations. It's a leisure centre in Smethwick, which is near Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
And that is for the Royal Naval Patrol Services Memorial Fund. And that is next Friday and Saturday.
Now, is that sold out also, or is there still
the event on the Friday sold out within a week of the tickets going on sale.
Really? That's great.
And as far as I know, the Saturday event has been 13 tickets sold just in one day.
Now, are these your first charity events that you've held?
We hosted a charity event last Halloween, and we decided that for us as a team,
mm-hmm.
we'd feel more comfortable with hosting charity events.
That's great. How many people normally turn up?
The one that we've got next weekend over the 2 days is going to be 50 people.
Uh-huh. And the one tonight?
Me personally, I have no idea how many people are going to go there, because obviously it was arranged through the Anthony Nolan Trust, but I think with the amount of money that's going to be raised, there could easily be 40, 50 people there tonight.
Oh, that's great. How late's the investigation going on till?
It will finish at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Really?
So it's a long night for my guys up there.
At least you get to go to bed early tonight.
Yeah, I think I'll stay up because my nan, who's air team sensitive, is also up there as well, so I just might stay up and see how they all get on.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Tell us a little bit how you got into the paranormal.
I got into the paranormal through just keen interest and experiencing various odd things. I was seeing things, I was hearing things, and from there I went to spiritualist church to try and get some answers as to what I was experiencing.
Uh-huh.
And it just grew and grew. I started finding books on UFOs, I found books on ghost stories, and the more that I looked into it and did, it got me thinking that it's something I'd like to do, and then I ended up going on ghost walks and ghost hunts with groups like Fright Nights, and now I have my own team.
That's excellent. Now, you're the founder or co-founder of Sandwell?
Yeah, I'm one of the co-founders. The other founder is actually my best friend. We spent 2 years planning the group, and we looked at how other groups worked. I went out there and worked with another group myself,
mm-hmm.
and looked at what they did, and found that there was something that was missing from the paranormal world, and that's what we're trying to put back into it.
What's the thing that you found missing?
We found that a lot of groups tend to take the responsibility away from a location. They go in and say, this is what we're going to do, we want it from this time to that time. But what we've actually been doing with all of our investigations is saying to the location when we meet them, is, what do you feel comfortable with? How long would you like us to come in and do an investigation?
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down certain barriers, and the biggest barrier that we have it in our own group, is the trust issue.
Right.
We need to get that trust issue back into the locations, because not saying that all groups have done it, but there is stories out there of some groups that have done a really bad job, and there's some great locations that have closed the doors to the good groups out there, which is unfortunate, really.
Yeah, we've had this discussion with other guests that, you know, unfortunately there's groups out there that give a bad name to everybody else that's, mm-hmm. you know, in doing paranormal investigations, and that's caused quite a problem lately. And a lot of it we've attributed, you know, to all the programs on TV, and
yep.
you know, groups have just popped out of the woodwork, and everybody wants to be a ghost hunter now.
Yeah. I think the key to being a paranormal investigator mm-hmm. is re-educating yourself. I've had many discussions with people who claim to be experts, but my argument is, how can we be experts in a field that has never been scientifically proven?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I'll hold my hands up to anybody that asks me and say, look, I'm not an expert, I just have a good understanding of certain areas.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have years of experience, but like you said, as far as an expert, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. It is one of them areas that people who go to a university and study things such as infrasound and get a PhD in it.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, that is an area of the paranormal that you've got a great qualification in.
Right.
And we need to look at it in a way as, well, if that person knows this vital information on things that could be of a paranormal nature, shouldn't we all be helping each other out?
Yes. Yes, we should. And unfortunately, there's too many groups out there working against each other.
Exactly. There's been a situation up in the Midlands recently where two groups have literally been abusing each other over the social networking site Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, we've got groups on Facebook called Keeping the Paranormal Friendly.
Right.
The group that I set up, Paranormal Unity, and both these groups are saying that they support this idea, and I think, to be honest, that is really poor. If they can act in that way but then say that they're supporting this idea, I think they may have just gone off the path slightly.
It sounds like it. And I mean, I think most all of us have been victims to it. We have. I know other groups have also been victim to it. It's sad, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'll hold my hands up. I was guilty of it last year, myself. I found some information about a group's medium, and instead of sending them a message saying, look, you maybe want to look at this, I actually plastered it over their forum saying that he was a fraud, and I found the site that he was on,
right,
and he was asking for locations, and I've learnt from that.
That's good. That you can admit that, you know, you even were a part of that, but at least, you know, you've learned from mistakes, hopefully.
I certainly have, and I advise my team members that if you get anybody that gives you grief for whatever reason on the paranormal nature, react to it in the best way that you can. Don't take it personally.
Right.
We can take it as constructive criticism.
And you have to look at the source too, you know, where is this coming from, and, you know, what reasons are they saying these things?
Yeah, exactly. I think that what we do need to start doing on the basis of Keeping the Paranormal Friendly and Paranormal Unity is stepping out of our own little bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
There's that many groups that will refuse to work with other groups and just stick with their own methods and techniques and ideas,
right,
rather than saying, you've got an idea that we're interested in, would you like to come on to one of our investigations and show us? I've helped out a group in the Isle of Wight who were having some issues with the team they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, have you considered setting up your own group? You know, still stay in touch with your old group.
Right.
And get them involved in joint investigations so that it breaks the ice a little bit. And what they've actually done now is they've set up their own group and they're branching out to work with other groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what Paranormal Unity is about.
Right.
We've got a group in Sussex called Paranormal Investigation Group Sussex.
Pigs.
And one thing that we've done, is they've sent us one of their shirts and we've sent them one of ours.
Uh-huh.
And we're planning on going down to those guys and doing a joint investigation with them. And it's things like that that will make positive moves.
Yeah.
And this is what we should all be doing. We should be saying, like, you know, you've got an idea, you've got a technique, would we be able to use it? Would you be able to show us how to conduct that particular experiment?
Right.
We can all learn from each other.
Yeah, exactly. Very well said. You know, each team has their own protocols and methods and, you know, whatever works best for them, but to be able to, you know, share information with other groups and possibly learn new techniques that, you know, could work even better.
This is the the key to what we do. We're all in it for the same aim.
Right.
We all want to find out, is there a paranormal world? For all we know, it could just be one big misconception, and we could all be deluded, wanting to look for something different.
Right.
So if we can all work together in a positive way, then maybe that big jigsaw that we've got in front of us, that is one big muddle, we might be able to piece together slowly.
Well, fingers crossed. Your website is www.sprt.webeden.co.uk, but the Paranormal Unity group that you're speaking about, did you want to give that information so people that are interested?
That is on the social networking site, Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you've got access to Facebook, just search Paranormal Unity and you'll come up with it.
And anybody can join that?
Yeah, it's an open site. We made a big mistake with that group, having it a closed site to start off with, and then we realised, is that actually being a united group? We need it to be an open group. We need people to get on there, share ideas, share information, and, you know, there's tools like that. The internet is a fantastic way of meeting new people, fantastic way of meeting friends, and it just needs to be used in the right way. So if there's people out there that do want to join the Paranormal Unity group, then go for it. You've all got ideas that we can all learn from and share and use.
Now also on your website, you've got links to that Facebook, I see.
Yeah. We've got links to our own Facebook group, but I will get in touch with the new webmaster to put a link directly to the Paranormal Unity group.
Excellent. Excellent. So if there's listeners out there that are interested in joining, please check it out. And it's a good cause, a good idea. There's other groups out there or organizations that are trying to do the same thing. Some seem to be working, some don't.
Yeah.
So hopefully if everybody has the same goal and the same common interest, you know, things will start getting better out there for everybody in the paranormal world.
Yeah, definitely. This is the thing that we really do need. We need people to literally start getting up off the backsides and saying, look, the paranormal world is not at its greatest. Mm. There's a lot of amateur investigation groups out there. There's a lot of groups out there that have been around before Most Haunted and most of your haunted programs was on TV.
Sure.
That are really struggling. They're having problems getting into locations. We all need to start uniting together and getting the trust back into it.
Well, one of the big things, too, since all the programming, is that these venues are charging outrageous amounts of money for ghost hunting groups to get into, just because of, you know, what's on television now, and, you know, they think they can make more money, so they charge exorbitant prices, which is ludicrous, really. But there's a lot of places, too, that you can go and get in for free or not much money at all.
We've been lucky, really, because... And I think it's the way that we approach locations.
Mm.
We haven't had to pay for any of our investigations so far, and we've done 6 since we started up. But one thing that we always do is we make a commitment to the location that we will work with them as close as we can so that they're happy with what we're going to do.
Right.
And we always invite people from that location to attend the investigation that we do so that they can see that we are a genuine group. We're not going to cause things that may go wrong. We're not going to cause problems. We don't want to upset people.
Right. That's good. It's too bad not everybody's the same way. I mean, you hear stories of people going in, groups going in and vandalizing and stealing things, and that just makes it harder for the next team that comes in.
Exactly. There's a location up by where I live, and it's called Hayden Hill House. The reports of that place are absolutely phenomenal. There's people that have seen things that are just, you can't explain them. And they used to do their own ghost walks. And unfortunately, because there was people in the grounds at the time, it ended in the house being assaulted.
Really?
So they've now stopped all their paranormal groups. Any group that wants to go in, it's impossible to get into.
Is it really?
Simply because of people being stupid.
That's a shame, really.
But it means that groups out there that do want to investigate that place for genuine reasons are losing out.
Yeah. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you get venues that don't have paranormal activity, but, you know, they advertise, of course, that they are, and
yep.
just to make more money and, like I said, charge outrageous amounts of money to get into. And there's even reports of some locations, you know, just rigging things to make it seem like there's activity going on.
Well, we had that at a private location we did towards the end of last year. And the things that they were saying it was having extreme poltergeist activity going on, things was being thrown and different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when we actually investigated the location, we began to realise that at the time when we were due to go in, they was actually watching The Most Haunted live.
Really?
And we thought that maybe it's more of a psychological cause.
Sure.
And one thing that I did is I had a look at some of the things that they were saying and looking at possible theories, and I come up with the recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis theory, which suggests that people can cause similar experiences to poltergeist activity.
Right.
And it's due to when you're in high emotions, you're going through anger, you're going through stress, and at the particular time when the family got in touch with us, that's exactly the same thing as what they was going through.
Really?
And what actually happened is the day after, all this alleged poltergeist activity had stopped.
Did it?
So it got us thinking,
there you go.
Maybe it was just more of psychological rather than paranormal.
Now, how many people are on your team?
We have 8 members in our team.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 2 years planning the group. So we didn't want to be another off the back of the Most Haunted team. We wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to take each investigation as serious as we could. And we actually go back to most of our locations time after time to see if anything changes, see what else we can find.
Right.
And slowly we can chip away at the puzzle of what the locations say.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a range, we've got believers, we've got open-minded skeptics, we've got people that wouldn't believe if a ghost shook their hand and said what their date of birth is.
Right.
So in that aspect, we've got a healthy team, to be honest.
Now, do you use psychics or mediums on your team?
We've got 2 sensitives that we use, and I get asked the question quite a lot, do they fake stuff? And I honestly hold my hands up and say that if any of the SPRT team decide to start faking stuff, I'd hold my hands up and walk away.
Yeah.
I'm not in it to be with a team that are going to fake stuff.
Right.
And being a locations manager, I get to look a lot into the history of the locations. What I actually do is keep that history information with me. When I get it through email or I've researched it myself, I'll keep that printed information on me at all times. I'll take it to work with me, I'll take it to bed with me. But doing things like that, as soft as it sounds, I can ensure that air sensitives don't get hold of that information.
Right, that's good though. That's a good idea.
And they have come up with stuff that I haven't been able to find historically, but members of the public have come up to me and said that it's actually true.
No kidding.
So it's they're interesting to work with, but also do ask a lot of questions.
That's good though. Now do you use a lot of equipment?
At the minute, because we only started up last year, we've got the basic equipment, we've got EMF meters, we've got digital thermometers, we've got hygrometers which measure the humidity and the temperature, we've got a piece of kit which I absolutely love, which is an air velocity stick, we have motion sensors, we've just recently purchased a spirit board, and obviously we've got digital cameras and night vision cameras.
Now, do you specialize? I mean, a lot of groups out there, I wouldn't say specialize, but they lean more towards, you know, the audio evidence or EVPs, and other groups, you know, tend to lean more towards the video evidence. Is there one particular device or piece of equipment that you guys tend to use more or rely on?
We try to gather as much evidence as we can. We'll take as many photographs as we can. we'll film our investigations, obviously. We'll record EVP. And one of our investigations, we did an EVP session where I was asking questions that I had it being recorded on digital voice recorder, and our cameraman was filming it. I heard distinctive footsteps as if somebody was walking towards us. At the time, everybody was sat down, and the cameraman had a view of everybody so we could see if their feet was tapping on the floor or various other things.
Right.
And what we actually got was not only me hearing these footsteps, I recorded it on the digital voice recorder and it was recorded on the video camera.
Excellent.
So evidence-wise, it does say that what I heard was actually there.
Right.
So I was quite pleased with that.
Excellent.
We've gone through some footage today where it was recording in a haunted tunnel, which is where we're going to be next week. And we've actually analysed it and come up with the conclusion that one of the sounds that was on there, which I first thought was a breath of some sort, was actually an echo from where we were actually stood talking.
Oh, really? So, so you were able to count that out then?
Yeah, this is what we try and do. It can take us months
to
finish an investigation.
Yeah, we know that. The footage and the recordings can take ages to go through, especially, you know, if you're using multiple pieces of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, time
it is very time consuming, but when you get that one little piece of data or video footage or EVP footage that just raises that one question, it means that you're a step closer to finding something unique.
Right. Now, do you do that? Do you do all your analyzation as a team, or is there one person that handles all of that for you?
Well, what we do, we work together on it. One person will analyze the EVP recordings, one person will analyze the video footage, another person will look at the photographs, and what we'll actually do, we'll have a team meeting and bring what that individual thinks is interesting stuff to the team meeting, where we can then all analyze it and give our own opinions.
I see. Now, do you do baseline tests before an investigation?
It's the first thing that we do.
Right.
And our actual investigation can start from as soon as we contact the location. Because we have to take into consideration things such as what have people been experiencing, where have they been experiencing it, how did it make them feel.
Right.
Did it happen on a particular day? Did it happen at a particular time? And with that information, we can then focus the investigation to those areas. And that we'll take the baseline measurements in those specific areas, and we'll constantly keep checking back, seeing if there's any fluctuations in what happens throughout the event.
That's excellent. You guys sound like you do it very thoroughly and professionally.
Well, I think to get accurate results, you need to.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
You know, it's easy enough for us to just walk into a location after we've got it, do no background research, get no witness statements, don't find out where the activity's been reported. And you could be in a building that's got 100 rooms. You think how long that's going to take to conduct that investigation.
I gotcha. All right, it's almost time for our break here. We're talking to Tim Jones from Sandwell Paranormal Research Team. We're going to take about a 5-minute break. Everybody, again, thanks for listening. If you have any questions for Tim, just feel free to ask him in the chat room. Are you in the Parax chat room, Tim?
I am, yes.
Okay, great. Good deal. So you can ask him in there, or if you want to ask over the air, just let Sarah Jane know and she'll relay that on to me. But everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
For the latest news in the paranormal world, listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio live on Para X every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time. That's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, this is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you would like to be a guest on Soul Seekers Radio, visit our website or contact us at soulseekers@ntlworld.com.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
Join the Soul Seekers live every Friday night from 9 to 11 p.m. London time, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time for paranormal discussions with special guests from around the world. Right here on Para-X Radio.
When a child is abducted, every second counts.
That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System,
helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet Broadcasting Community and this station.
right, we're back. Welcome to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, your host, broadcasting from England. Sarah Jane's in the chat room. And our guest, is Tim Jones from Sandwell Paranormal Research Team. Hi, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a good break?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Stretch your legs?
Yep.
Now, you're not a newcomer to Para-X. A few weeks ago, you were on with Laura Kimberly and Ray Jordan, weren't you?
Yes, I sure was.
Good. Yeah, I listened to most of that show. It went really well.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good. Good. And like we said before, the rest of your team's out doing a charity investigation tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I was reading, and you mentioned you spent 2 years organizing your team before you really got started. And that's interesting. You know, most teams just jump right into it. Yeah. But I think that's excellent that you took the time to research and you just didn't let anybody join your team, did you?
No. What I wanted to do is make sure that I was comfortable with the way the group actually did an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at what people could do and how that could be implemented into a paranormal group.
Right.
We've actually grew to become really good friends now.
That's good.
And what we're actually starting to do is one thing that I want to push myself is not only go down the path of developing us as a team,
mm-hmm.
but also developing us as individual investigators.
That's good.
And tonight we've got our cameraman out who's actually taken over the host role.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to give him a new experience. Mm-hmm. Rather than being stuck behind the camera all the time.
That's a good idea.
And this is what I'm trying to push in the team. Now, this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this radio show tonight, because I want to get our name out there
mm-hmm.
and get as many other people who have paranormal investigation groups involved in the paranormal world. It's what we're all in it for. It's what we all need to do. And me, personally, I've got books, DVDs, I browse the internet,
mm-hmm.
I talk to people, I've got numerous phone numbers from other investigation groups. That's how I learn my stuff.
Now, I'll just mention to the listeners again, your website is www.sprt.webeden.co.uk. So everybody check that out, and you've got a forum in there, people can contact you,
yep.
Guest book in there. I'm just going to click on your events here. You said you're pretty much filled up for 2009?
We pretty much are.
What kind of interesting places do you have lined up?
The projects that we've got lined up at the minute, we've got our own private investigations, which are not on the website at the minute,
because mm-hmm.
That's currently being updated. We've got events with Fright Nights lined up. We've got joint investigations lined up, and we've also got a project in May lined up, which is working with a group called Phantom Force.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier on your website.
So that is going to be an amazing event, working with those guys. I've worked with some really good groups out there,
mm-hmm.
but the quality of the videos that Phantom Force produce is just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, the host on there is very interesting.
Chris is actually becoming a good friend of ours now.
Uh-huh.
And he has got a really amazing project lined up in May, but I don't want to say too much about it.
Okay.
Because it's a very big project for the SPRT team.
Now, you appeared with them already, have you?
Yeah, we filmed a preliminary investigation at Smethwick Swimming Centre.
Mm-hmm.
We was working with a medium, but events happened that forced us to not want to continue working with her again. But these things do happen.
Right, sure.
So what Phantom Force have said, that because of this event that happened, it didn't do the original episode justice.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to, in a way, revamp the episode and finish it off with a massive finale.
I gotcha.
Well, there's a few names that have been mentioned to me already that are big in the paranormal world. So if we can get these people on board and finish the episode off, it's going to be amazing.
Well, we look forward to hearing that, or seeing it, actually. I've got a question from somebody in the chat room, from Spooky. Hi, Spooky.
Okay.
And her question is, why do teams use sensitives and not mediums?
I think that it all depends on the individual. Now, there's some teams out there that don't even use mediums, sensitives or psychics.
Right.
And I think it's all to do with how their own methods are. There's groups out there who are strictly scientific, use the best scientific equipment, look into things such as infrasound. There's groups look into how the Earth's magnetism affects things, how the moon affects things.
Right.
I've also been told to look on a website that measures earthquakes, which is apparently associated with some paranormal experiences.
Huh.
So it all depends on what that individual group or team is after.
I see. Would you guys use a medium on your team? I know you said you have two sensitives, and you know Sarah Jane's our sensitive on our team, and we've brought in guest mediums before. Would you guys bring in a medium on occasion?
We definitely would. We're actually working with a medium from another group next week.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to Paranormal Unity, we was approached by a location to see if we'd be happy working with them. And obviously, because of our commitment to making a difference in the paranormal world, it made sense.
Yeah.
Get another group involved in a charity event, get them some publicity, we can work with them, they can work with us, and we can all learn from each other.
Right, that's it. You guys are really hooked on the learning from each other, which is excellent, I think.
It's the best way forward.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
There's so many websites on the internet that offer you qualifications in paranormal investigation and things like this, but I think the best qualification you can have is experience.
Sure.
You know, it's like any job that you do, you can gain the qualifications, but you're never going to get anywhere unless you get the experience.
Right. Now, I've seen some of these courses that you can take online, and you know, to be honest, I have to question, you know, what their motive is really, and who's actually, you know, offering this course. And like we said earlier, you know, there's no experts in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no experts in the field, how can people be teaching these courses?
You know,
there's some of them have good information on them. I've, you know, looked at one particular course, and the information on it is good and it's very thorough. But, you know, the first thing you have to think of is their motivation is money, of course.
Yeah.
Because you can't get a degree in paranormal investigation that I know of. Maybe I'm wrong, but as far as I'm aware, there's no college or university that offers it. Parapsychology, yes, but paranormal investigation, I don't think so.
This is the question that I've been asking myself, because I was prepared to pay £250 to do a online course in paranormal investigation.
Oh.
And then I thought, well, hold on. If you can do a course in paranormal investigation, it'll be at college.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get something, you get a qualification where you could go into university.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the parapsychology courses that you can do at certain universities. Not all universities do them. I think there's Liverpool Hope that do parapsychology.
Sure, yeah.
But that is a by subject of psychology.
Exactly.
And what I was told is that if you claim to call yourself a parapsychologist and you haven't actually got the degree, it's illegal.
Illegal.
So it'd be interesting to see what people say on that.
It's illegal against the law?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's what I heard.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to see what other people say on that.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
It is that hard to get into the parapsychology field, to be quite honest.
Oh, is it?
Well, unless you're prepared to go through studying psychology at college and then at uni and doing parapsychology as a boy subject, then it's pretty difficult to get into.
I would imagine. Psychology, I mean, when I was in college, I took some psychology courses, and they weren't easy. I never was into the paranormal back then, but You know, I never checked into parapsychology, but I can imagine it's pretty intense.
See, I've studied sports psychology because my actual job is a sports coach.
Oh, is it really?
So I studied part of that course. We had to study sports psychology, so it's looking at how certain things can affect people, why people get motivated to do certain things.
Right.
So I've got a little understanding of psychology, but not as much as if I'd done a full psychology course at college.
Mm-hmm.
So it all goes back to us re-educating ourselves.
Sure. And it's going back to the, you know, the courses online, the paranormal investigation courses, and you said you almost paid $250 to take that course, but like you said, we can learn the same things from other groups and other people.
Exactly. Because there are some groups out there who have got parapsychologists who do have university degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it worth approaching those guys?
I would think so, yes.
There's a group that we're in touch with called Parasearch,
mm-hmm.
and they've been doing it for 25 years, and they are qualified scientists.
Are they?
And the good thing that we've been able to say is stuff that they've researched and picked up on locations we've investigated,
mm-hmm.
they actually agree with us.
Well, that's good.
So I suppose in that aspect it does say that the way that we investigate the paranormal, we must be doing something right if we're having scientists who are looking at the same thing and saying, your ideas and theories on this, we agree with.
That's very encouraging.
For me personally, when I get comments like that, it gives me a sense of well-being. It tells me that all the research that I've done, it's actually got me somewhere, and what I've been learning is right.
Have you ever heard of the skull experiment?
I haven't, no.
Somebody just introduced me to this a few weeks ago. Actually, Mark, one of our new team members. It's www.thescoleexperiment.com. And I had never heard of this before, but I encourage our listeners to check this site out. But it's research that was performed by actual scientists alongside the Society for Physical Research. And the things that they observed and the evidence that they've collected, just for example, one of the projects was taking 35 millimeter film, still sealed, you know, in the foil wrapper and the little tin, putting it in a box, a wooden box with a padlock on it, and having psychics, mediums there also communicating with spirits, and, you know, actually raising the spirits, and then actually getting that film developed. In no possible way, you know, that it could have been tampered or anything. And the things that come out on this roll of film are just amazing. But they've got all of their research and projects on there. And I was surprised that I'd never heard of this, because some of the evidence that they've captured on there is just amazing. But it's really, there's a book they have out, and of course they're selling the book on the website, but they do show a lot of their information and evidence that they've caught. And it's thescoleexperiment.com, but you should really check it out. It was a 5-year investigation they did into life after death, and it started in 1993, so up until last year. And I don't know if they're still continuing it or not, but, you know, all the scientists they use are, well, we all know how scientists are, just, you know, deal with black and white and in fact and science. And for them to work along mediums and people from the paranormal world, I thought was really interesting, and the evidence that they found was amazing, really. So yeah, check it out. You'll be excuse me, you'll be amazed at some of the things that they've come up with.
Mm-hmm. See, it's things like that, websites like that, that we can all learn stuff from.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how many groups out there take digital cameras on their investigations and get orbs?
Oh, all of them.
There's a theory out there that it's a fault with the camera that you use.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a website called theorbzonetheory.com.
Uh-huh.
and it explains basically what the orb theory is. And there is your major digital camera producers are actually admitting there is a fault with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that going on to the re-education subject, if we look at things like this, then maybe we're going to be a little bit wiser.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily, excuse me, my cough has come back, a fault with the camera, but light refraction is a big, you know, big reason for getting orbs, moisture, of course, humidity, dust, anything like that. To catch it on a 35 millimeter camera, video camera, you know, still a lot of the orbs can be explained, but they tend to have a better chance of possibly being paranormal.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if the orbs are...
What I've encouraged my team to do is actually purchase more 35mm cameras than digital cameras. Because
mm-hmm.
at least you've got something to look back on through the negatives.
Exactly.
And then it may make things a little bit harder to explain.
Sure. Now, Sarah Jane and I came across, one day we weren't even looking at anything paranormal, but we were looking up Native Americans. And we came across this old picture, way before digital pictures, you know, were invented. And there was an orb in the picture. You know, we weren't looking for it. Now, there is the possibility that somebody took a picture of that old picture with a digital camera.
Yeah.
You know, we'll never know. But if it wasn't, you know, if it was actually the original picture and somebody scanned it, it'd be really interesting to know that, you know, they caught an orb in that photograph. But like I said, we were looking just for Native American things, not orbs or anything paranormal, and we happened to spot that. So that'd be really cool if it was an original orb
Definitely.
In that picture.
So I think the paranormal world is something different. There's lots of people that have their hobbies, and I actually make my friends laugh with a comment that I make, because a lot of my friends like to go out nightclubbing on Friday and Saturday nights.
Sure.
And they always come back to me moaning that they've got no money, they can't remember what they did. And I make a joke out of it, and I say, well, I just spent £150, I had a great night out, and you wouldn't believe the stuff that happened. So, but we all have our own hobbies. We all like to do our own things.
Sure.
And yeah.
Now,
all of us as paranormal investigators are doing something important for science. We're adding to that jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly. Now, from your picture, I don't know how old you are, but you look sort of young. Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 23.
23. That's exactly what Sarah Jane guessed.
But, cool.
There is a lot of younger people getting into the paranormal, and to find someone, you know, at your age that's so thorough and professional about it, it's very refreshing.
Thank you. It's all down to a lot of hard work and commitment from myself. I absolutely love investigating the paranormal, and I always say that if I can help one person out,
mm-hmm.
I've done my job.
That's great. You've got a very mature attitude towards the whole thing, and that's good.
I do think, though, that that's what we're here for. We're here to help people.
Mm.
You know, and we really can help each other. When we go into locations, we can help the people in that location to have a better understanding of what's going on, rather than going in and saying, yeah, your location's definitely haunted by 10 spirits, one's from the 1300s, he raped and murdered and abused his family, he was hung, he got burnt and all this stuff.
Right.
You can just say, that little girl that Air Sensitive has picked up on,
mm-hmm.
instead of being scared, just speak to her.
Right.
And we did that at one of our locations, and they actually stopped speaking to this little girl, and what she'd actually started doing is making them feel that cold that it got so painful that I had to start talking to her.
Hmm.
But what we've actually done is we've actually re-educated those people that you're not mad.
Right.
You're not sensing something that's not there. Something is going on, just acknowledge it. And the last conversation I had with the manager of the location is that staff have never been any happier.
Really? That's good.
So that's made us proud, and we've got a good working relationship with them. And that's the location we're going back to next week.
Oh, is it?
Two events.
Now, we get quite a few calls just from individuals, you know, private parties or that feel their house is haunted or they're being haunted by something. And,
yeah.
You know, they're scared. And we try and, you know, we'll go there. We don't charge, of course. And, you know, we'll try and help the people and follow up as long as we have to help people come to terms if they are actually being haunted. Do you do the same thing with your group?
We look at each individual case, and sometimes you can tell when people are playing on what they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you may need to go in, and then you realise it when you're there.
Right.
And it goes back to the private location we did where these people was experiencing poltergeist activity. They wasn't the type of family where they may have looked at it in a different way. They was 110% believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to people, if you believe in the paranormal 100%, what is the point in investigating it? You've got your evidence, you don't need to investigate it. And there is some people out there who do genuinely believe there is something paranormal going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what investigation groups are there for, to go in, see if what they're experiencing is actually there.
Right.
And look at all avenues to either discredit that it's not paranormal or say that there may be something of a paranormal nature.
So you do get calls from the general public then? And
yeah, we've actually been approached from a private house in Worcestershire.
Mm-hmm.
To go there. It's a group of university students.
Hmm.
So naturally, when you get approached by students, you are a little bit cautious.
Sure.
But they've experienced things such as the feeling of being watched. Some of the students have seen a little boy. Others have felt as if there's an oppressive feeling there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worth taking a look, but also with a bit of caution.
Sure. And I assume, like ourselves, you gather as much evidence over the phone, you know, a preliminary interview or whatever before you actually go out, because we've had calls that, you know, we get somebody on the phone, they contact us by email or through the website, and you can tell straight away whether it's genuine or if it's a bit dodgy. And
yeah.
So, you know, you call them up on the phone and try and get as much information, whether it warrants going to their location or not, or whether it's a safe thing to do, or what their actual intentions are, or, you know, whether they just want to meet you or they want to just impress somebody by having people over, by having a ghost hunting group in, or if they're actually being haunted.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You can tell a lot about people through the way that they word things, be over the phone, you can tell through how the voice is, you can tell certain things by how they word things in an email.
Sure.
And it's only when you make that initial meeting to those people, which in our case is months before we even do an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We've got investigations coming up next month that we were actually in talks with last November. And it's so we take that process so that we can build a case file up. We keep in touch with the location, asking if there's been any more experiences. A lot of the time, things do carry on happening.
Right.
And it's we then make a decision of, do we think that what they're experiencing needs to be investigated, or can it be something that that can be dealt with through just advice over the phone?
That's good.
When we go into a location, it's normally 3 months before we do the investigation itself. We'll speak to the people and see what they say, see how their body language is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can lie to you over the phone.
Oh, sure. Beautiful.
And it's only when you meet them in person that you'll get a true understanding.
exactly. I agree. Well, we're going to take another about 5 minute break, everybody. So thanks for listening. We're talking to Tim Jones from Sandwell Paranormal Research Team in the Midlands here in the UK. So everybody can make a drink, stretch your legs, don't go away. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
This is
Power
X Radio Network.
Join the Soul Seekers live every Friday night from 9 to 11 p.m. London time, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time for paranormal discussions with special guests from around the world, right here on Para X Radio.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When a child is abducted, every second counts. That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System, helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet Broadcasting Community and this station.
Listening to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio live on Para X.
Hi, everybody. We're back. This is Gil, your host. We're speaking tonight with Tim Jones from Sandwell Paranormal Research Team. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for everybody in the chat room. If you have any questions for Tim, feel free to ask. We'll pass the questions along over the air if you want, or if you just want to ask him. I know Tim's in the chat room. Hi, Tim.
Hiya.
Hanging in there. We're in our second hour now.
Yeah, it's going great. Loving it.
Wonder how the team's doing.
I'd like to know, to be quite honest. But like I said, it's going to be good for those boys to experience stuff and explain stuff themselves.
Now, are you pretty much the team leader in your group?
I actually just manage the locations, to be quite honest. We've got a lead investigator who actually does a better job than myself, because I was the lead investigator for our team.
I see.
And it was a position that I was pretty much uncomfortable with. So we just redeveloped the team. It's done us justice, really.
Uncomfortable in what reasons?
Well, I'm not the type of person who's happy to tell everybody where to go. I'm like it when I'm at work,
right.
But when I'm out on the paranormal investigation, I like to focus on listening to what people experience and trying to come up with a possible explanation for it.
I see.
And I think when you're in a position where you've got to lead a group of people, you can't do that.
You said you have 8 people in your team. Do they all specialize in one specific area?
We've got our 2 sensitives.
Right.
We've got our lead investigator, who is absolutely great at the job she does. We've got myself, who I like to concentrate on the scientific side of things, looking for the logical explanations and stuff. We've got our cameraman. We've got a normal paranormal investigator who just comes along to enjoy the experience.
Right.
We've got a graphic designer who comes along and takes the digital photographs, and then obviously a cameraman.
I see. Now, do you put any of your evidence on your website? Do you share that with other groups, or keep it to yourself?
What we'll do, we're always willing to share investigation reports on our locations with other groups.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put a brief report of our findings on the website.
I see.
Because the last report we wrote, it was actually 28 pages long. So it's not going to be beneficial to put all that on the website.
And I'm assuming, as thorough as you are, you take a lot of notes during the investigation and, you know, a lot of reports while you're investigating.
Yes, definitely. One thing that we do when we go back to the location to actually do the investigation is interview the witnesses again. Because going back to the part where we mentioned people can lie.
Right.
There is actually people out there in haunted locations that will change their story to hype things up.
Yes, we found
So we'll ask them the same questions.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Where did you do all your research, you know, as far as setting up? You spent 2 years before you actually started doing the investigations. How did you come up with all this, you know, protocol and processes that you guys use?
What I did, I started going out on ghost walks and ghost hunts with other groups,
mm-hmm.
talking to people through social networking sites that were already in groups, joining other groups' forums, and just speaking to people, learning about investigation techniques, learning about investigation methods. One of the best people that I've met for things scientific so far is a guy called Steve Parsons from Parascience.
Mm-hmm.
I check their website on a regular basis to see what new information they're looking into.
Right.
I do lots of research on the internet, looking at various things. And with that information that I gained in those 2 years, I actually started pulling together the team that I've got now.
I see. Now, how do you go about finding a location for your team, other than, you know, people that call you to, you know, investigate their properties? Do you find properties on your own to go investigate yourselves?
Yeah. What we've actually started to do now, because obviously me being a locations manager and a paranormal enthusiast, mm-hmm. I like to be out there every single day if I could. But with the team we've got, most of us work, so it's not beneficial.
Sure.
And one thing I'd actually started to do was get carried away and not realise that there's other people in the team. So what we've actually decided to do, instead of me getting as many locations as I can, is drawing up a shortlist where we'll all sit down and discuss possible locations that we'd like to investigate. Mm-hmm. And we'll then contact these locations to see if they've had paranormal investigations going on before. And one thing that started to happen now is we're getting tip-offs from friends, mm-hmm. and from people in other groups such as Fright Nights, and I've had one tonight actually about a location that's never been investigated before, and it's in Birmingham, so I'm going to check that out today.
Those seems to be the best ones. We just had somebody we just met, and not even in the paranormal world, totally different field, and you know, they're like, oh, by the way, you know, we've got this great location that, you know, it's reputedly haunted, and you know, would you be interested? So we're following that up and going to go visit them next weekend. So it's, like I said, some of those are the best tips that you can get.
I think when you get tips like that, it makes it more interesting, because you've been approached by somebody that's not involved in the paranormal but hasn't approached you through your website.
Exactly.
So it makes you think, well, is there actually something there?
Right, yep.
And we've been approached by locations who've heard about us through people that have come on investigations with us.
Oh, that's good.
So in that sense, it's good for us.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of groups that, you know, follow in the footsteps of Most Haunted or, you know, Ghost Hunters or whatever. You know, they've done this location, so, you know, we should go do it too.
I think when you've got a group that wants to follow in the footsteps of Most Haunted, unless you've got a multimillionaire in your team, then I think it's the wrong way to go. One of the locations that we put on our shortlist is Alton Towers.
Uh-huh.
So I did some research into it and actually found that to hire that place, it would cost you £1,200.
Hmm.
So I'm like,
I would have thought it'd been much more than that, actually.
It's what we found out through a friend of a friend.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, it rules that one out.
Yeah, that is a bit steep. There's places that charge even much more than that I've heard out there. I mean, you're talking mm-hmm. thousands of pounds. And then if you go into extra hours, you know, like after 2 a.m., you know, it's like £1,000 an hour. Which is ridiculous.
It makes you feel sick that people can justify charging that amount of money.
Mm, I know.
There's professional paranormal investigators, there's mediums that will charge outrageous prices.
Oh, sure.
And you think, well, how can you justify that?
I can understand locations, you know, that have to have an employee or a few employees there, you know, just to be there. A lot of places don't want to turn their property over to people they've never met before. So I can understand, you know, having to cover their costs, electricity, and, you know, a few employees, things like that. But to go into thousands of pounds, especially a place like Alton Towers, which makes millions, you know, there's no need to charge that much money.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're charging.
I totally agree.
Obviously, they're charging it because of their name and their reputation.
Mm-hmm. But I think that if a location can justify to the individual group that the price that they're going to charge is justifiable, i.e. like you said, staff wages for the night, electricity costs, fuel costs, things like that,
right,
then that's a different story altogether. But when they know that it's just a pure profiteering business and they're just in it to make as much money as they can,
mm-hmm.
that is just wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Now, there's also groups out there, not paranormal investigators, but like tour groups, I guess the best way to call them, but groups that, you know, host these ghost walks or, you know, investigations. A lot of them are for charity, which is fine, but there's a lot that are just strictly business, and mm-hmm. they're just in it to make money, and they also charge exorbitant prices for you to go on a ghost hunt. I mean, £100, which I think is pretty steep to have Joe Bloggs off the street go to a ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm. I think what groups like that need to realise now is that the way the financial state of this country is in, mm-hmm. there's going to be people that simply can't afford to pay outrageous prices.
Oh, sure.
You know, we've seen it on the news. How many people have been losing their jobs just recently due to the credit crunch and organisations going into administration?
Right.
You know, it's outrageous that people can justify it.
I know. It's the same in America. A lot of our listeners are in America, and I'm sure it's no different over there either. And they've got the same problems and concerns and, you know, conflicts that we do here in the UK. And we've discussed that on other shows. It seems to be pretty much a universal thing where ghost hunting's, you know, become a big phenomenon.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that we've been talking about recently in our team is how can we get some sort of finance into the group so that we can go and hire new locations that will charge us.
Right.
But also, how can we look at it in a way that we're not going to be looked at in a way where we just want to make money out of ghost hunting?
Sure.
The one thing that I've said is the main problem that we've got is financing new equipment. Me personally, I don't want to do paranormal investigation to make a living out of it.
Right.
I want to do it to help people out. I want to do it to learn more about what the paranormal world is like. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day I'll find a piece of evidence that proves to me that there is such thing as the paranormal.
Right.
What I've put to our team is that we do public events mm-hmm. where we chose a charity for the year,
right.
and we split it 50-50, where 50% of what is made goes to invest in new equipment for the team so that we can continue with the research projects that we have lined up, mm-hmm. continue as a research group, but also give something back in the way of raising money for charities.
Right. Well, that's good. But I mean, we all... Everyone that we've spoke to, including ourselves, I mean, we have to finance our own equipment and locations and everything ourselves, and everybody, you know, works a full-time job and, you know, does this in pretty much our spare time. I'm sure there's a few that, you know, have a unlimited bank account that, you know, can go out and do this and buy every piece of equipment, but, you know, that's even not necessary, even for groups that are starting to get into it that are genuine. Yep. I mean, the best piece of ghost hunting equipment's yourself, really. You know, and a torch or flashlight and, you know, a notebook and a pen. And just experience what you can on your own. That's all you really need to get started.
Definitely. There's new groups out there that are really struggling.
Oh, yeah.
And it is because of the financial situations. And there's that many locations that are now realising that it's a viable business.
Right.
I mean, there's a location that we know who charge £400 to every investigation group that want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a new group and you haven't got people that are in decent jobs that do earn a fair bit of money,
right,
then that's going to put you off.
Oh, sure.
You know, I certainly wouldn't want to be in a situation where we go to a location and they say to us, well, it's going to cost you £800. Because
mm-hmm.
I know as a group, we simply can't afford that.
Right.
Now, if I had £800, I'd rather invest it in a piece of equipment that's going to get us some very good results.
Sure, sure. I agree with that. I mean, we've done investigations of places, and on top of our normal team, you know, we've invited friends and a few other people that are close to us, and you know, just to help cover the costs, and we all just, you know, split equally whatever the amount was to do the investigation. But you know, we've never done the big ghost walks. We've hosted a few in Wales. We, you know, were approached by a hotel there that wanted to hold big events, and they did all the, you know, setting the prices and charge people, and they just had us come do the hosting, and, you know, gave us a room and a meal for doing it, and we had a great time doing it. But, you know, as far as holding organized ghost hunts, that's one thing we haven't ventured into.
Yeah. We was actually approached by our first location to host a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it last Halloween, and I think it proved our inexperience on hosting public events, because we've noticed that it was more geared around us doing another investigation,
right,
because that's what we're simply used of. But what we've actually done now is, because we've got one of our cameraman is a regular fortnight's visitor. He goes to Warwick, he goes to Alton Towers, he's been to Woodchester Mansion, he's been to Oxford Castle, he's travelled the country doing fortnight's events. So we're actually using his experience on their events to host our own events.
Oh, I see.
That's what he's doing tonight. So next week, when we've got our own charity events, he's going to be the host for the night.
Oh, I gotcha.
So his knowledge of how to host public events is really going to benefit the night. And we've been discussing it a lot on the best way forward for these events we host. And we do believe that going down that route where you have somebody who's capable of hosting it, really enthusiastic, really energetic, and taking it away from the investigation side,
right,
and get the public involved, get them hyped up, say to them, this is your night, this is your event, you've paid the money, you want to come here, where do you want to go?
Right.
We'll take you there, we'll do vigils, you decide.
That's good, that's a good idea. Yeah. The first one we hosted for that hotel, it was, because like I said, we had never done that before, and you know, we were in talks with the hotel, obviously, and they set a limit, I can't remember how many people originally, I think it was maybe 50 people, and there was four of us in the team going, and so you know, we were just going to divide the groups up equally, but when we got there, they didn't tell us until we got there, they had finally cut off the guest limit at 100 people. So each of us had 25 people in our group to rotate, you know, in different locations around this property. And not having done this before, and to get there and have this huge event room, you know, just packed full of people, it was interesting. We had a great time, and all the guests loved it. They absolutely loved it. And people that never really believed in the paranormal, you know, the activity we caught in some of the places, they were pretty much all believers when we left, but it was an experience, and we did learn from it. And the second one we did, it was definitely a smaller group, because even the hotel realized that many people to do an investigation is just, you know, way too much. But
what a lot of people don't realize about paranormal investigation as well is the health and safety into it.
Oh, sure.
And we work really close with our locations on the health and safety side. We find the areas that we can access, we find the areas that the public can't access,
right,
and we'll close them off. Next weekend we're going to be doing 12 hours of investigation with the public, but part of that is us going in and shutting these areas that could possess a potential danger to the public.
Right, and there are a few. We've been on a few public events where we just, you know, were attendees, and they were taking us in places that no way should anybody of the public been walking through this area, and broken steps and, you know, all kinds of timber with nails sticking through, jagging up everywhere, and if somebody from health and safety saw that, they would have been shut down immediately.
So the place that we're at next week, we have to wear hard hats, because In the tunnels underneath the swimming pool, there's all pipes running along the roof. And we made an outtake on the last one that we did, and it was me trying to figure out how many times I'd hit my head off the pipe. We made a bet, and I said I'd hit my head 3 times.
Uh-huh.
A member of the public said that I'd hit my head 6 times. I'd actually hit my head off these pipes 7 times. Bear in mind, we've been there 3 times previous.
Uh-huh.
And but doing things like that, getting the public involved on something funny, it raises the energy levels.
Sure.
And that's when you get things starting to happen, which is amazing.
Yeah.
We always like to have a laugh on an investigation.
Yeah, so do we. I mean, we're serious about what we do, but as a team, we all get along really good. We've got an excellent team now, and you know, we've gone through some changes, but to be able to work well together is so important. And like you mentioned earlier, the trust thing is so important. And, you know, we all trust each other in our team that, you know, nobody would do anything to jeopardize, you know, our reputation and what we do. And that's so important.
Mm-hmm. When we work with this particular medium, can't mention a name for legal reasons.
Sure.
One of our team members noticed that she was faking stuff.
Mm.
And I hold my hands up to my team and I'll say congratulations. They actually got up, walked away and did their own investigation.
Huh.
It's simply because they didn't want to be associated with anybody that fakes stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're guilty by association automatically.
And luckily we've got video evidence of this medium faking a gas divination sitting.
Oh dear.
But unfortunately we can't make it public knowledge.
Right.
So...
Well, you don't have to. I mean, they'll be caught out on their own eventually, if they haven't been already.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm pleased with my team for doing that, because it shows that they're in it for the right reasons.
Exactly.
I mean, they could have stayed there and not said anything, but they just walked off and did their own thing.
That's good. That's good.
I'm pleased for that.
We've been involved with things where, you know, faking it had come up and became an issue, and we did the same thing. We just, as a team, just walked away, just washed our hands of, you know, the people that were bringing that up, because, like I said, it's guilty by association.
I mean, we've tried different things when doing glass divination. I've had my team turn the finger, so the fingernails on the glass. We've put baby oil on the glass just to test to see if one of us might be faking stuff.
Right.
And we've all found that if you've got your finger upside down so your fingernail's touching the glass, it's impossible to move it.
Right.
Put baby oil on the glass and it's impossible to move it. So we can then start looking into it as, is it something subconscious? Is it a micromuscular movement that's moving the glass?
Right. That's a good idea.
That's the way we look at things.
That's a really good idea. What do you some people say, you know, with the table tipping or more of, you know, the spirit boards using the glass or glass divination, that it's people's energies, not deliberately pushing the glass, but people's mm-hmm. energies are causing the glass to move and not, you know, a spirit's energies. What do you think about that?
I tend to agree, but one thing that I look out for is the way the glass moves.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we've had last month, we did an investigation at a pub in Bewley called the Georgian,
right?
And we used the spirit board for the first time. And my God, that was absolutely amazing! I've never experienced anything like it before.
Really,
the planchette, it was vibrating, it was twisting, it was coming out with things that we couldn't even imagine, and. Bizarrely enough, one of our investigators saw a figure standing by a door and we asked, is that you?
Uh-huh.
And it strongly went on to yes. I've never seen anything like it before.
No kidding.
And it got to a stage where we were thinking, we've really got some good stuff going on here.
Right.
And it was just absolutely amazing. The planchette, the times it took it a long time to move, and we could tell then that subconsciously we was moving it, and we all agreed.
Really?
When it was barely moving, subconsciously it was us moving it through micromuscular movements, but when we was asking for general questions and it was giving us them answers, it was so powerful, and the way the planchette was twisting, you could not fake it whatsoever.
No kidding.
And it there probably will be people saying, well, you were standing up, so you could have been moving around. But I will swear by it, we've got the video footage, we were sat down at the time.
Mm.
There was times when this planchette was spinning round that we had to stand up. And I've never seen anything so powerful.
No kidding, that sounds excellent.
And that location, if you can get there, I'd advise you to do it. It is absolutely amazing.
And that was the Georgian whereabouts, was it?
In Bewdley.
Oh, yeah.
We went up into the ladies' restroom. mm-hmm. where there'd been reports of a girl being seen. And we all, after about 30 minutes of being in there, we all became aware of some big commotion. We thought it was an argument outside, looked out the windows, and there was nobody there.
Huh.
And it was then that we realised it was in the room that we was in.
No kidding.
And we just simply could not explain it. It was similar to, like a cattle auction.
No kidding.
And it was just absolutely amazing, because it came out of nowhere.
Huh. That's amazing. Well, we're going to take one last break here. Don't go away. We're talking to Jim Jones from Sandwell Paranormal Research Team. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. We'll ask them over the air, or you can ask in the chat room. But we'll be back in about 5 minutes, so don't go away.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's been sitting around here for a week. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. It's called A1C, a simple blood test that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. To find out more, go to www.diabetesa1c.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world, right here on Para X Radio.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
This is the Para X Radio Network.
We're back. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening tonight. Kurt from PIR, I know you're listening. That song was just for you, buddy. We're here with Tim Jones from Sandwell Paranormal Research Team. Tim, you there?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you coming on.
Not a problem. I've loved it so far.
Great, great. You're doing a great job. We want to wish the best to you and your team, especially that's out there. You just sent a message saying they're starting their vigils at midnight tonight.
It should be interesting to hear what happens tonight from them. I've just sent a text to our lead investigator to see how things are going at the minute.
Oh, good. You'll have to keep us updated if he answers, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry you couldn't be there with him tonight.
Not a problem. This was pre-booked in before the charity event, so I really had to honor this.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We're glad that they're doing it for a good cause, too. That's
definitely
very encouraging.
I think that after tonight, once they all come back, there'll be lots to chat about.
I just wanted to thank also our listeners. I've been tracking our podcast downloads, and in the past 30 days, we've had well over 2,000 downloads. So we appreciate everybody that tunes in and listens to us, and especially everybody at ParaX who are doing such a great job, and Tom and Dave, all the hard work they put into ParaX. And we're also simulcasting tonight on the new ParaX International server, and they're starting to get some shows on there in native languages from different countries. And since we're in the UK, obviously still speaking English, but we're glad to be on the ParaX International network too, as well as the normal ParaX network. So everybody, thanks for listening. So what else is in store for you and your team, Tim?
The project in May, which is going to finalise the Supernatural Smedic episode, which has some great guests lined up to finish that off. Hopefully after tonight we'll be doing more charity events for Fright Night. Also, we have a Mogulus TV channel, which we've had for a good few months now. That's broadcast every Tuesday at 10 p.m.
And that's London time, obviously.
We actually made a big mistake with that, because we had the Most Haunted on in England at 9 p.m. and we was launching it at 9:30. So we now changed it to 10 p.m. in the UK time.
And what is the web address for the Mogulus channel?
It's www.mogulus.com/SPRTTV.
Okay, great.
And that is broadcast every Tuesday at 10 p.m.
Is that a live thing that you do, or is
it's a live broadcast. There's a chat room on there where people can ask questions to the show host and various things, and just chat about paranormal stuff, basically.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. We've got our trailer for our new projects on there, mogulus.com/soulseekersghosthunters, I believe it is. But we're also got an exciting project going on, too, with Dick Turpin and the Highwaymen of England. So
cool.
And if people
one thing that we're looking at doing for our Mogulus channel is making our own paranormal episode, where we go out to various haunted buildings. We've got to look into it, obviously, to see the best way about doing it. But I think at the minute, it's going to be based on talking about the history of the hauntings and then some bits of us doing an investigation there.
I see. Have you thought about doing a live broadcast and an invest?
We've mentioned it at previous meetings, and it's something that we are looking into.
It's hard to do with, I mean, it can be done, but there's a lot more technical work involved as far as, you know, the wireless signal and you know, having a good strong signal to broadcast. But
This is the thing that we're looking at, because there's some locations where you can't get a wireless signal.
Right.
And then you've got to look at using a better camera than your normal webcam, so you're probably going to have to link it up to a night vision camera or something.
Sure, at least one, or if not more.
Yeah.
We're looking at doing a live radio broadcast in the near future here on Para X, so we'll keep our listeners posted for that, too, for doing an invest somewhere. But that should be exciting.
Definitely. Another project that we've got that I'm currently working on at the minute is launching Paranormal Unity Radio.
Oh, are you?
Which is on the Blog Talk Radio, and I'm currently going to get some help from Jason Day, who does the White Noise Radio on that. But that's a work in progress at the minute.
Well, you have to keep everybody posted on your website.
Yeah. Once the final details are set and a launch date is set, the information is going to be put onto the front page of our website.
Okay, great. And we'll put a link on Tim's website. It'll be on our podcast page and also on our RSS feed. But if you're interested right now, it's www.sprt.webeden.co.uk, correct?
Yep.
And the Paranormal Unity group that you mentioned earlier, that's on facebook.com and / I'll let you finish the rest.
I think people could...
Or they just search you and Facebook.
The Unity group can be searched
on the
Facebook.
Does SPRT have a Facebook also?
Yes, we do. I'm actually on there, so I might be able to get a link for you.
Oh, okay.
But I think the Unity group at the minute has 111 members.
Oh, that's good.
So we just need more people to get on there and start making positive moves for the right reasons, obviously.
And for people that may have missed it earlier, it's an organization or group that you've set up to help like-minded paranormal investigators basically share information and get along better in the paranormal world.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every single one of us has got an idea. We've got theory. There's things that you guys might know that us guys at SPRT might not.
And vice versa.
In that aspect, we could share that information and use it in a positive way.
Right, that's great. And you have lots of investigations lined up for this year?
Yeah, we're hoping to get the year fully booked pretty soon, which for us is going to be an amazing achievement because we were only established in July last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting locations that are coming to us. So it's good.
Do you try and do invest every weekend?
What we aim to do, because we spend so much time looking into each investigation in depth and working with locations closely, we aim to do an investigation once a month.
Once a month, that's good.
So that it's just so that we can commit to that particular location.
Go for quality than that quantity.
Yeah. I mean, we could do an investigation every weekend and not do it to the standard that we have set for ourselves as a team.
Right.
So we aim to do a location every month, and the planning for that location could happen 6 months before the investigation starts.
Sure. That's good. That's a good way of doing it. You have one lined up on the Isle of Wight, is that correct?
Yeah, we're talking to a person named Kelly Metcalf, who is the runner of Vestix Investigations, and she's actually been very, very kind to us at the minute, and we're talking on a regular basis. I'm helping her out with a few things and giving her advice, which is what Paranormal Unity is about. And hopefully we'll be going down there, well, over to the Isle of Wight at some point in this year.
That's one place I've always wanted to go to and have never made it out there. I hear it's very haunted out there.
It definitely is. One thing that I've been talking to Kelly about is whether she'd like to have her teams like a sister group for the SPRT.
Uh-huh.
So that if we can't always get over there to do investigations, we know there's a team there that we will support as much as we can, that will do a good job. And she's been very forthcoming with that, and she said that she wants to get her own team developed first, which I think is fair enough. You know, she set up a new team. They're doing really, really well. They had their own investigation, the first one, not so long back. Mm-hmm. And they've got an interesting picture of a mist. Now, looking at the picture myself, ruling out the usual damp air where your breath can be seen,
sure.
The cigarette smoke as possibilities, then it is an interesting picture.
Huh.
And I have to apologise, I can't get the link to the Paranormal Unity group, so if there's people out there that do want to join it, then they can just search it on the Facebook site.
Right. I'm looking at your website now. The event that your team's doing tonight, is that at the George Inn?
Now, the event tonight is a recent one that was organised through Martin Jeffries from Fright Night.
Okay.
It's at the Lawns in Lincoln.
I got you, yeah.
It was a former mental institution.
And your one next week charity event's at Smethwick Swimming Centre?
Yeah. And that is... luckily, I work for that same company, and how we heard about that is before I got my job with Samar Leisure Trust, who own Smethwick Swimming Centre, there was a story in one of the staff newsletters saying that they had spooky stuff going on. And because I'd spent 2 years planning the team, I thought about it and remembered. So we contacted those guys. And that's how we got into the location. Now, we were actually very good friends with that location.
I see. And you've done that location before or no?
This will be our fourth visit.
Oh, no kidding.
The location have been very nice to us, actually. They'll let us in when we want to, basically, but within reason.
You've had good results there?
We've had some very, very good results. It's got to a stage now where there's groups that are going in who are taking mediums in that are picking up on the same things that our own sensitives have picked up on.
Uh-huh.
Reports that we've put out there to the location, other groups are sending reports that are saying the same stuff as what we've researched, what we've done at the location. Parasearch have been in and agreed with stuff that we've said about the location. So I think for us as a new group that started off there, it's saying positive things about us.
I was just looking through your equipment page. I noticed one thing that we also do is, as far as the audio recordings, is use both digital and analog recorders. Do you find that you get different activity on digital and analog?
I think with the analog, the quality is poorer, but simply because it doesn't cut the spectrum down like the digital voice recorder does.
Right.
The digital voice recorder will cut things off that it doesn't deem appropriate to that recording. It's the way that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the analog gives the full recording. Both have their advantages, because with the analog you'll get the full recording,
right?
But you'll also have severe background noise,
exactly,
because it's done by tape. But with the digital voice recorder, because it can be uploaded straight onto a computer, it compresses the file, so it cuts parts of the spectrum off from both ends of the recording.
Sure.
And to give a better quality recording, it has to do that.
And a Testo Velocity Stick.
The Air Velocity Stick, my favourite piece of equipment.
That's cool, that is.
Well, basically, it measures drafts.
Right.
How many investigations do you go on where somebody reports a cold breeze?
Mm.
That piece of kit is going to measure it.
And it measures the temperature, correct?
It measures the airspeed of... where a particular draft. So the way that I use it is I look at, well, is it measuring the draft or is it measuring somebody breathing or are they moving and not realising it? Because
right.
A lot of cold drafts or experience could be misinterpreting somebody walking,
sure.
Things like that. So that piece of kit is very useful. I'm still learning how to use it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like what I've said on the chat room. The equipment you use is only as good as the person that uses it.
True. Very true.
But it's one of my favorite pieces of kit.
Now, you know, a lot of people say it's only theories that these pieces of equipment, you know, verify or unverify whether there's paranormal activity, which to a degree is true. I mean, they all measure fluctuations in, you know, natural readings, whether they're EMF or temperature, humidity, like you said, this velocity stick, the breezes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you try and use this equipment to back up what your sensitives are sensing?
One thing that I do, because I concentrate on the scientific side of things, is I look at what the equipment's telling me,
mm-hmm.
and then listen to what the sensitive's saying. We've had numerous discussions with my own sensitives where they've been adamant there is a cold spot, there is a breeze,
mm-hmm.
but the equipment's been telling me that there's not.
Right.
So from the scientific point of view, I can only go by what that equipment is telling me. If it's telling me there's no temperature change, if it's telling me there's no breeze, then I have to say that.
Right, sure.
If I go along with it, especially on a public event, if I'm using that particular piece of equipment and the sensitive says there's a cold spot here, and I have, say for instance, a hygrometer, and I've got an air probe measuring the cold spot, I know what that piece of equipment's saying. I can see if there's a temperature change or not. If I turn around and say, yeah, there's a temperature change, but on the device it's not saying that there is,
mm-hmm.
that's not being truthful.
That's correct.
So I'd rather say, well, this piece of kit is telling me there is not a temperature change, and what I'll do is I'll get a member of the public to have a look.
That's good thinking.
And if the member of the public sees it, then it will make them feel a little bit more comfortable about
sure.
what we do.
Sure. Sure, good. Good idea.
What is the point in lying?
Now, I'm looking at your water tape theory, and last week's guest, John Temporarily and Bob Davis, don't know if you caught that, but we were talking about evidence caught on the Queen Mary, and we started talking, you've got it listed here as the water tape theory, and we all know what the stone tape theory is, but we touched briefly on the articles that are out that water, you know, is conductive to paranormal activity.
Yeah.
And one of our guests last week was saying that a lot of ships that they've investigated seem to hold more paranormal activity because of the water.
Yeah.
Do you find that's true also? Do you think water actually has an effect on paranormal activity?
It's an area that we're actually looking into in terms of research at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
We did a location, it was a pub, and it was next to a canal.
Uh-huh.
And we was testing a theory that, well, the water tape theory, and what we was looking at is how the humidity changes in the building.
Right.
We set up a locked off experiment where there was reports of footsteps being heard on the landing.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily the door to this landing could be locked. We set up air motion sensors on either side of the corridor and the landing, and we set the hygrometer, which could measure the temperature and the humidity.
Right.
Just by the motion sensors. We locked the corridor off, and it was literally 15-20 minutes after. The motion sensors had gone off.
Really?
Bear in mind, we conducted the baseline tests there, and I'd taken a previous measurement before we set the experiment up, so that we had a set of results to go by if anything did happen.
Right.
I took the measurement from the hygrometer, the temperature and the humidity, and we found that the humidity had dropped from the measurement that we'd made before we set the experiment up.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't think there was anything unusual going on. So we set the experiment up again in the same way, set it up exactly the same method, locked the door again, went back downstairs, and space of 10 minutes, the motion sensor was set off again.
Really?
But interestingly enough, this time, the temperature had increased above the measurement from the first set of results that we'd taken.
Hmm.
before we set this experiment up.
Interesting.
So we thought that this was an interest. So we set, just to make sure, we set the experiment up yet again.
Right.
Taking down the measurements every single time. Same procedure, set it up, lock the door. And it was literally 8 minutes before the motion sensors had set off. But interestingly enough, this time, the humidity had increased below the first result that we'd set.
No kidding. That's amazing.
And it was something that we couldn't explain.
No kidding, that sounds excellent.
So it's an experiment that we follow on virtually every investigation that we do. It's something that we're researching now.
That's awesome. I hate to say, Tim, we've got to wrap things up. It's been a quick 2 hours, but I do have to say I'm very impressed with your procedures and, you know, considering your age, too, and how thorough and professional you are. It's, like I said earlier, it's very refreshing to have, to be able to speak to you about this and to see that you do everything, you know, so professional. It's very impressive, and I'm so glad that you could be on the show and share things with us tonight. And I'm sure our guests have been...
I'm pleased that you had me on the show.
Yeah, we're very glad to have you. We'll be happy to have you on again any time, too.
Yeah, definitely. If you want me on again, just let me know.
Oh, I sure will. We'll definitely take you up on
that. It'll be a pleasure.
And, you know, good luck to you and your team. And like I said to the guests, we'll put Tim's website on our RSS feed and our podcasts and in the ParaX forum. But thanks, everybody, so much for listening tonight. And, Tim, thank you especially for taking the time out and missing your big event tonight just to be with us on the air. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. It's been an absolute fantastic interview, and I'd love to be on again.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. And all our listeners, thanks so much for your support and listening to us. And stay tuned every Friday night from 4 to 6 London time. Or I'm 4 to 6 Eastern time, sorry, 9 to 11 London time. We've got some great guests lined up in the next few weeks that you don't want to miss. But everybody, good night, and thanks again. And Tim, have a great night. Let us know what the team discovered tonight.
Yeah, I definitely will be. I'll be in touch with you over it.
Okay, great.
And let you know.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
This is the ParaX Radio Network.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna. And you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on ParaX Radio.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.